Asaph, you notice if you're probably your Bible has a little title at the top. It says, mine says, to the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of Asaph. Asaph was, he's the writer, if you look at like all around there, Psalm 74, Psalm 75, Psalm 78, and all of these 70s, Psalms, back into 73 and so on. Most of them were written by Asaph, and he was the chief musician, the song leader, if you will, of the church in David's realm there, if you can think of it in that fashion. But in other words, he led the music, he wrote the psalms, he was a musical person. And it's true, I think probably most of you would agree with me that musical people are often emotional too. And you know, I always think about the artsy, and there's some of you here, artsy type people, often are very emotional. And so this is Asaph. Asaph, he would write about problems he had. And we have a psalm before us here where he writes about a problem and how he, you know, he kind of takes us in this journey of this problem. I don't know how long it lasts. As a matter of fact, it never even tells us what the problem was. But it does tell us that he had a problem with the problem, all right? And so it kind of is the same in, well, let me say it this first. I didn't tell you what I was going to say is the same. Verse 1, he kind of gives us the whole thing in a capsule. He says, I cried unto God. So right away, he's crying out to the Lord. And why? Because he has a problem. He has a situation going on. He has some trouble going on. We'll see that in verse 2. If you just look at that verse, you'll see the word trouble real fast. And so he had some trouble and he cried unto the Lord. And then it says, with my voice, even unto God with my voice. And you know, it seems kind of redundant. It seems a little bit strange that you almost would say, well, yeah, of course, you cry unto God. What are you going to use? You're going to use your voice, right? And then in fact, he says it twice. But as I was thinking about that, what does that indicate? It indicates that he cried out loud, right? With his voice. Really, when we cry out to God, most of the time, we don't cry out loud. Usually, it's in our heart. You know, we cry out inwardly to God. It takes quite a bit for us to get to the point where we would actually out loud with our voice cry out to God. Even when I think about Hannah, remember Hannah praying in Samuel, 1 Samuel. Remember how she, the Bible says her lips moved but no sound came out and Eli thought she was drunken. And so she was very distressed and it came to the point where her lips were moving but the sound wasn't quite coming out. But Asaph is at the point where he's just right out loud saying it. So he cries to God with his voice, and then he says, unto thee. So we see the distress, we see the direction unto the Lord, and then we see his deliverance. All there in verse number 1. Because he says that he cried, and he gave ear unto me. God heard his cry. So that's sort of the whole psalm in a capsule. Now, don't get too excited. We're not done. That doesn't mean we're done. But Asaph does this. He does the same thing back in chapter 73, which is one of my favorite. Did you know, as far as I can remember, the first sermon I ever preached was Psalm 73. And I preached it at the Spokane County Jail. I was in jail, not because of I was not incarcerated, but I was there with another preacher, and he let me do the preaching, and I preached from Psalm 73 to the people there at the jail. And if you just look back there, he says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. And so he starts off saying, God is good, and I know he's good, and I've learned the lesson. But then he goes on in the rest of the psalm and he says, but it took me a while to get there. And the same thing happens in chapter 77. He says, I cried unto the Lord, and the Lord did hear me, and I was delivered, and I learned the lesson, but it didn't happen that fast. There's some details in between, and that's what we want to look at. So let's start now at verse number 2. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Now, I'll give you my outline real quickly. We're going to see in these first three verses, we see the problem expressed. And then in verses 4 through 9, we're going to see the problem expanded. And then in verse 10 through 20, we'll see the problem explained. But we look here at the problem expressed. He expresses it. He says, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. That's good. It's good to seek the Lord in the day of your trouble. Amen. You know, some Christians, some people do the opposite. Some people get into trouble and they try to figure out their own way of dealing with it and so on. And I mean, how many times have you maybe said to somebody, hey, I haven't seen you in church in a while and we've missed you. And they said, well, I was going through a hard time, right? That's not the right time to be out of church. There isn't any right time to be out of church. But, you know, when you're in trouble, that's not the time to forsake the Lord or go away from the Lord. That's the time to draw close to God and seek after the Lord. So he does that here. He says he in his trouble, his day of trouble, he sought the Lord. That's what we should do. But he goes on to say that my sore ran in the night and ceased not. In other words, it didn't cease. It didn't end. I continued on this all night. I couldn't sleep. This thing was bothering me. This trouble was, you know, keeping me awake at night, and it was in my mind all the time, and it just went on and on and on, and my soul refused to be comforted. Have you ever been there? Where that thing is just there, and no matter what you try to do to distract yourself or to try to change your thinking about it, it's just there. And at night, it's like Brother Lenvoy, he was kind of, transparent in that letter where he said, I spent time in that bedroom praying, and I believe God heard my prayer, but he said, in my human doubt, I still couldn't sleep, you know, wondering. And so that's true. Sometimes these problems come, and when problems come, you know, oftentimes, isn't it true that the problem really, looking back, or sometimes you look at it if at another person's problem from a perspective outside of themselves, and it's not that big, but it really is big to them. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, it's huge in their mind because that's all their mind can think about. They're just overwhelmed. It's constantly there. And so, you know, and then when you try to say to them, it's not that big of a deal, that's sometimes not really the right thing to say because to them it's huge, you know. And you just don't get it, that it is big. And so this man, I as I tried to outline, I just put he was foggy. He was sort of like in this state of just, you know, his thinking was just clouded with this. He was frustrated. Verse 3. He was frustrated. He said, I remembered God. Again, that's good. But almost, it says, I remembered God and was troubled. And this is where I start to say that he had a problem with the problem. Because, in essence, he doesn't ever say what the problem was, but his problem becomes that God doesn't seem to be helping. So I have a problem, and I have a problem with the problem because God doesn't seem to be listening. God doesn't seem to be helping. He's not taking care of my problem. I was talking to somebody after church this morning, and they were saying how they were dealing with this thing, and they said, it's not happening fast enough, basically. That they wanted it, you know, to be resolved quickly. And that's always the case. When we have a problem, we don't want it to continue. But we think, you know, a week is a long time to be in this problem. A month is a long time to be in, and it is true. It is true. It is a long time for us. But like we learned at camp, sometimes God brings us in areas and lets us go through areas that later we'll be thankful for. And it's not, you know, it can be months. I don't know how long his problem went on. I don't know, in this space of this psalm, when, you know, as he outlines it in verse 1, I cried unto the Lord and he heard me. He understood then that God did hear him. God was at work. But then as you look at how he expresses it, it took him a while to get there where he really believed God was hearing him and that God was at work. God was doing something. Sometimes we only see the problem and we don't see what God's doing, and we have a problem with the problem because God doesn't seem to be helping. Does that make sense? Are you with me? All right, so he says that I cried to the Lord, I sought the Lord, I remembered the Lord, but I was still troubled. And it was almost, then I became more troubled because I thought, why didn't the Lord answer my prayer? Why didn't God take care of this? And so he was frustrated, he was foggy, he was faint, he was overwhelmed. And then at the end of verse 3 is that word Selah. You see that every now and then in the Psalms, don't you? And you know what it means, I think, most of you. It's in a song, it's a pause. It means to stop, to think about it, to, you know, think about that. And sometimes we read the Bible too fast. We ought to have more Selahs in there. We should ponder it. We should think about it. Think about what this man was going through. He's expressing the emotions that were in him at the time. And so we realize he was faint, he was frustrated, he was foggy, and his trouble just seemed to continue on. And he couldn't sleep, he couldn't get rid of it. So that's the problem expressed. Now we go into the problem expanded. We see his distress in verse 4. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Two things there. Again, he couldn't sleep and he couldn't speak. Is it just me or you hear a beeping? I hear this beeping noise up here. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't think it's any of my equipment. So, anyway, if I explode or something, you'll know. he couldn't sleep. And, you know, you would say, you know, someone might say to him, what's wrong? You know, I haven't slept for days. Well, what's wrong? Oh, is that what it is? Okay, I think it's Christina's. Thank you. I still hear it. Anyway, he couldn't sleep. And you say, what's wrong? I don't want to talk about it. What's wrong? I can't express it. I can't explain it. If I told you, you wouldn't understand. I mean, that's kind of where I see him. He's like, I couldn't sleep, and I'm troubled, and I can't speak. He couldn't verbalize it. He couldn't talk about it. So he was distressed. And then notice verse 5, his diligent search. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. And what was he doing there? Well, it's a little hard to exactly know, but I think he was basically saying, I've tried to look back. Have other people felt this way? Have others gone through this before? He's considering the days of old, the ancient times. And then verse 6, he says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. And so this is the process he's going through. He's thinking back to the past. He's wondering if others have felt this way, what's going on. He's in times past, other troubles, he would sing. He's the songwriter. So singing helped before. But this time it doesn't seem to help. So again, I'm just trying to show you all the way that this guy was, he was in a very discouraging place emotionally. So we see his expression of it, expansion of it. He makes a diligent search. He goes through his normal routine. He tries to correct his thinking. He tries to get himself over it. He's trying to tell himself it's not a big deal, but he's coming up with still troubled. And then the doubting spirit sets in. Look at verse 7. This really gets low. He says, "Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore?" What's he saying? He's saying, is this it? Have I crossed the line? God's no longer going to be gracious to me? Am I at the point where have I somehow reached the place? Have I, outgone God's mercy where it can't reach me any longer? Am I done? I mean, that's kind of the way he's feeling. Is the grace of God, is it ever going to be back into my life again? I don't know if you've ever felt like that. Have you ever come to a place in your life where you wondered, can I ever be where I was before? Or am I just a castaway? Is God done with me? I don't know if you've ever been there, but I know some people who have. And that's where this man was. Will the Lord cast off forever? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forever? So we see his doubting. That's a low place to be. But now we come to the problem explained, verse 10. Here is where things begin to turn around. And then it says, "And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy works and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders, and thou hast declared thy strength among the people." Now what I want you to notice is the change here. The change comes, first of all, with an admission. The admission there in verse 10 is, this is my infirmities, my infirmity. It's not God's fault, it's my fault. And then, as you read on, as we started reading on down through there, the focus change. There's an admission and there's an adjustment. And this is where the deliverance starts to come in. Now he's taking his eyes off of himself and the problem, and he's starting to look at God. And then he starts saying, is there any God like our God? Is there any other God that can do the wonders like our God? And he talks about the wonders. I'm just summing this up for us, but think about it. He said, basically, he's kind of saying, in essence, he's saying, I don't understand my problem, but I look at God. I don't even understand all of God, but I know he's a good God. Brother Lenvoy said, my God is good all the time. Even when the fires are raging, even when things are threatening us, we know God is good. And when we lift our eyes off our problem, see, if when he was focused all on his problem and this situation and himself, he found no strength, no relief, no encouragement. But when he lifted his eyes to God, he adjusted the eyes toward the Lord, he begins to see that, hey, God is always good. God is wonderful. And his wonders, I don't understand all the ways of God. I don't always know what God is doing. I don't have an answer. And as a pastor, I can say this. I don't always have an answer as to why the Lord allows some things to go on. All I can tell you is that I know that God is good and God is faithful, and God will never be anything other than that. A good God does good things, and great is His faithfulness. And so this is where the psalmist goes. He says, again, look at verse 10. I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. He's remembering now. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy works. He's thinking about the works of God. He's thinking about the what God has done. God who created. God who did miracles. God who showed His love. God who delivered in the past. And he says, I will talk of thy doings. He starts talking about it. He's, rather than crying with his voice, with my voice I cried, and talking about his problems, now he's talking about God. You know, you can talk your way into problems. You can, you know, you can talk yourself into depression if you just keep talking about your problem. But you can talk your way out of it when you start praising God. You know, you start remembering God, praising God, looking to the Lord. And so, verse 14, thou art a God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. And here we get another pause, Selah. Lord, you redeemed us. You know, God's redemption is, Pastor Sastney said it in camp, what is the foundation of what we can be thankful for? Is it not our salvation? I missed Wednesday night because I was with the junior church. But I remember him saying it on Thursday. He said that, you know, that really when that's the basis of our thanksgiving, that never leaves. Everything else is transitory, changing, you know, but God's always the same. Our salvation is solid. And so we can be thankful for that. And that's an anchor to our soul. That's a foundation, a grip that, you know, a rock that we stand on. I thought of the verse during camp of, you know, where he said, rejoice not that the spirits were subject unto you, but rejoice rather that your name is written in the book of life. That's what we rejoice in. This doesn't, you know, I'm not going to get too excited about this thing and that thing and this thing. Mostly I'm excited that I'm saved. Amen. That's what I get excited about. Because these things may happen, these things may not happen, but that never changes. And so he says, you're the God that redeemed us. And you redeemed us out of Egypt. You redeemed us out of that bondage. You can redeem me out of this problem. You can deliver me. And so we see the admission, we see the adjustment that led last of all to the adoration. In verse, which is really verse 13 through 20. Let's just continue on. He says in verse 16, the waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. What's he talking about there? He's talking about when God brought them out of Egypt. He brought them up to the Red Sea, and he said the Red Sea fled before God. The Red Sea got troubled, and it parted. The clouds poured out waters, and the skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in heaven, and the lightnings lighted the world. The earth trembled and shook. He's just talking about the power, the majesty, the glory of God. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And there's where he stops. So he starts out saying, I was in this problem, and I had a problem with the way God was handling it. I didn't think he was dealing with it. But then I remembered that God is still the God of deliverance. And He hasn't changed. And He is in control. And so it's like it's like Paul, when Paul had the thorn in the flesh. He had a problem with the problem. He had a problem, the thorn in the flesh. Then he asked God, take away this thorn, and the Lord said no. He asked him a second time, and the Lord said no. He asked him a third time. And he had I think Paul kind of started, you know, would have had a problem. Lord, why aren't you taking this from me? And then God said, he changed his thought. He changed his focus. Don't focus on the thorn. Realize my grace is sufficient for thee. And then Paul said, I no longer have a problem with that problem. The problem didn't go away. The thorn was still there. But I don't have a problem with it anymore. Because God's grace is sufficient. And the same thing I see here. The psalmist had a problem with the problem. But then he saw God and he said, God, it's not a problem anymore. Because I see you and I know you. Your grace is sufficient. And so if you ever get in that situation, think about, you know, it's like God says, no temptation hath taken you but such as common to man. Asaph's been there, others have been there. And how did they find relief? How did they find peace? They got their eyes on God. And no longer was the problem a problem. I hope that can be a help to you. Let's stand and we'll pray together.